Am I on? Are you off? No. I do have my mask with me today, so after the service, if you try to give me a holy kiss, I'm going to put it on expeditiously. Don't do that. Well, absence certainly does make the heart grow fonder, doesn't it? Been away for almost 3 months from worshiping, and you started last week, right? You came back last week, and what a great offering you had. Isn't that great? You must have been stoned away for that big day. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. And, so today, we're going to have a little, I'm going to be a little different today, a little creative without being entertaining, but I want to ask you a question or two, and if you want to answer, you can. If not, that's perfectly okay. But if I would start out with this and say to you, does God want you to be happy, or does he want you to be holy? What do you think he would say? What would you say? Would most of us say holy? Be anybody here that would say he wants us to be happy?
Well, yeah.
Sure he does. You know. And a lot of, you know, we've heard this over the years, and I think it started with A.W. Tozer, who was a brilliant scholar, theologian, and he wrote a little article entitled one time, God doesn't want you to be happy, he wants you to be holy. And I always thought that was a little confusing. You're not supposed to say happy birthday to your little guy, or, you know, can't say Happy New Year, God forbid. God doesn't want us to be happy, right? Or something exciting happens, or wonderful happens, you can't be thrilled. Certainly God wants you to be happy. John Ortberg said that God is the happiest person in the universe. I agree with that. And so it's challenging. It's challenging when you think of being happy because of all that's going on. You know, not just, you know, pandemically with the virus and your life personally, but it is challenging. It really is, because there's a lot of little foxes that spoil the vine, and they sort of ebb away with us. But what I want to do a little bit today is I want to talk about happiness. I want to talk a little bit about holiness. I want to talk about being hopeful. That's an important word right now, isn't it? Being hopeful, to being filled with hope. And then I'm going to talk about, at the end, I'm going to talk about four things that I promise you this will make you happy. Well, I hope it will. Four things that I guarantee you that are in heaven. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books and movies and all kinds of stuff that have been written about heaven. I put a message together a couple years ago on heaven. I think it's the only message that I ever preach that a few pastors ask if they could preach it too. So hopefully it'll give you what? Hope. And it'll make you happy. It'll make you happy. So, Dr. Jeffress, Robert Jeffress, who is a counselor to President Trump, and God only knows he needs help, doesn't he? And hopefully after he's done with Trump, he'll go to Pelosi and right on down the line. But anyhow, don't start. Don't start. You're supposed to be happy today. I can hear you laughing. But anyhow, we traced a little, after the State of the Union address, I traced a little bit of genealogy on Nancy Pelosi. She was related to Jack the Ripper. Did you know that? She ripped up. But anyhow, that's enough of that. Dr. Jeffress wrote a wonderful book entitled Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. And he prefaces that book with this quote from one of the most brilliant Christians who ever lived. His name is Dr. Thomas Chalmers, Scottish minister, politicist, theologian, right on down the line. Brilliant. And he said, there are three grand essentials. I love that word. Three grand essentials to happiness, to being happy. Number one is finding someone, or maybe even something, that you love. Does that make sense? We know that love is the greatest virtue. Finding someone or something to love. I wish I had them up on the screen, but I didn't have time. I did, but I didn't. But anyhow. Second thing is finding something to do. Because God created in us an industrious spirit, and he wants you and I to work for him, to be busy, and be creative, and to do something. Just a little aside, I don't want to get into any political thing, but a lot of reasons why there's so many exhibitions today, and so many people out in the street right now, black and white, that are demanding this and that, is they don't have nothing to do. They really don't. A lot of them don't have jobs, and they find in that purpose and power. Would you agree with that? They really don't. So anyhow, finding something, someone to love, finding something to do, and number three, finding something or someone to hope for or hope in. Hope is so powerful, isn't it? It really is. Someone said we can live 3 days, 4 days without water, maybe 10, 15 days without food. We can't live 1 minute without hope, without hope. And we have a God who is called the God of hope. Let's turn to Romans 15, 13, if you would please, in your Bible. Romans 15, 13. This is a verse that I just gave to a friend, and I'll use this illustration in a few moments from now. I just gave to a friend to give her hope, because after 31 years of marriage, her husband walked out, and walked out of three beautiful children. He's a president and CEO of a bank. He's a big shot. He's loved by me, and I'm just unhappy. Even though I'm supposed to be unhappy, I'm unhappy with what he did, and his wife is just a mess. So we've been just trying to help her a little bit, my wife and I, just chatting with her and texting her. And I gave her this verse the other night because she texted me. And by the way, while she was texting me, her husband texted me and said, can I talk to you? So there's a little hope there, isn't there? Pray for that situation. Look at one of the great verses in all the Bible, Romans 15, 13. Is this a great verse or not? May the God of what? Hope. God will fill you with all joy and peace. Only in good times, though, right? You know, as you trust Him, by the way, the greatest gift that you and I can give God, the greatest gift, I mean, what's this gift a lot of things? The greatest gift that you and I can give God is to trust in Him. Would you believe that? Amen. Is to trust Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Trust the Lord with all your heart. So that you may overflow with hope. Love that. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that a great verse or what? Amen. Is that a great verse to memorize in challenging times and meditate on when things get tough? A couple of months ago, I was here and I spoke on why bad things happen to good people, bad people, God's people, and I gave you seven S's. I said sinfulness, stupidity, selfishness, Satan, right on down the line. And I said, very last one, the sovereignty of God. Now, He doesn't cause bad things to happen, but He helps us through those bad things, and He's in control. Absolute control right now. Would you agree with God's in control?
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
With everything.
Yes.
So we can have what?
Peace.
We can have peace. We can joy. We can have hope. And yes, even in the throes of all that, we can find some semblance of happiness. Because I do believe that Chalmers is right, that hope produces happiness. Hope produces happiness. Particularly, obviously, biblical hope. Biblical hope. I think it's impossible to be really happy without hope and without the Holy Spirit, don't you? So God does want us to be holy. He does want us to be hopeful. He does want us to be happy. And He wants the church not to be big, per se, but to be healthy. And they will produce health. The late, great Thomas Jefferson. You gotta love Thomas Jefferson, right? Third President of the United States. A little off of this theology, but he wrote the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. In fact, he wrote the whole thing. But he said, we have been endowed with certain unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and guess what else? The pursuit of happiness. I agree with that. Our country's not happy right now, is it? It really is. It's divided right down the middle. You know, theologically, spiritually, and of course, politically, economically, all that stuff. And this nation needs hope, doesn't it? It needs hope. And you and I, as the church, have the responsibility and the calling to give this nation and the world hope. See, most people are looking to Trump, right? And I voted for him. And I want to be honest with you, I'll probably vote for him again. Not because I want to, because there's not a whole lot left too, right? I could believe that Biden would stay awake for 4 years. I would possibly do that. But anyhow, but my hope is not in Donald Trump, for Pete's sake. And God puts together a political system, and I love it. It's called democracy, and it's the best, as Winston Churchill said. It's a lousy form of government, but it's the best we have. And just right on down the line. God, all that to say is that God wants you today and right now to be filled with joy and peace, but particularly hope. And the more hope you and I have, the happier we are going to be. And there is a lot of challenges, isn't there? There's a lot of challenges going around. My list of S's, I mean, just a lot of challenges. This guy was sitting in his living room one day, and a knock came on the door, and he opened up, and there was a 6-foot cockroach. Now, that's a big cockroach, isn't it? And this cockroach grabbed that guy and just pummeled him. And this guy was just stunned. He said, where did that come from? So he was so embarrassed and so confused, he didn't even tell anybody, he didn't even go to the doctor. 3 months later, guess who's back? The full brush man now. 6-foot cockroach. And this time he really works this guy over. He had to go to the doctors. And as he was sitting there embarrassed and all beat up and bruised, his doctor said, okay, tell me what's going on here. What happened? You looked a mess. He said, you won't believe me, doctor. He said, well, trust me, you know, believe me. He said, no, you won't believe me. He said, tell me what's wrong. He said, well, twice in my living room, mind my own business, a 6-foot cockroach shows up and beats me up. You know what the doctor said? There's a nasty bug going around. Not just the coronavirus, but the 6-foot cockroaches and all those other little ugly things, bugs, that try to steal our what? Our hope, our happiness, yes, even our holiness. So, you know, God, in His grace and in His power, gives us the ability. Right now, Jesus is doing two things according to Scripture. You probably don't know, you know, thing, but I know He's doing two things for sure. Number one, He's preparing a place for you. Is that true? He told that to His disciples. His disciples were lower than a whale's belly. They were literally depressed, discouraged. And He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do what? Now, I don't know exactly what that means. Exactly Him preparing a place, but take Jesus for His word. So that, you know, if where I am, you can be also. So He's doing that. He is preparing a place for it. The second thing that Jesus is doing that I know unequivocally is He's building His church, isn't He? He said in Matthew 18:16, I'm going to build my church in the gates of what? Hell will not overcome. And He's using you and me to build that church. He's using the church to build the church, Christians. So He's preparing a place. And He's building the church. And as you and I build the church, you know, physically, spiritually, right on down the line, and evangelize and edify and all those things, you know, God wants you to know that He is working through you and in you until He one day comes back again. Great song by Steve and Steve S, wasn't it? It really was great. The old, you know, one day song, right? The Casting Crowns took that and called to change it to Glorious Day. That's a great title, isn't it? It really is. But one day, Jesus is going to return. So when's He going to return? Only one person in this church knows, Brother Dan, he's not telling. When is he going to return? One day. We don't know. And I was thinking this a couple months ago, I guess he's going to return when the last person is witnessed to, right? Does that make sense? Because he wants everybody to know, somehow, some way, the last person is going to be witnessed to, or told, or given the gospel, and they have an opportunity to choose, or reject it, and then, I guess, Jesus Christ, by God's order, will return via the rapture, then the second coming. But until then, most of us will probably what? Check out another way, as most people do, we're going to die. And I'm going to die. But the point is this. If you and I have put our faith and trust in Christ, and most of us, and I'm preaching to the choir now, most of us have, then we have that called the blessed hope. So let's turn, if you would please, to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Watch the word hope. While we wait for the what? Remember, hope produces happiness. Hope and holiness produce happiness. The appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, I believe that the blessed hope is two things, don't you? Number one, Jesus Christ. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing, the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's a blessed hope, and I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's heaven, don't you? I go to prepare a place in heaven for you, for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, as we are going through all this stuff right now, and look, it's been going on for millennia, thanks Jesus Christ. That means, you know, in this world you're going to have tribulation, trials, problems, but be of good cheer, have a great heart, NIV states, I have overcome the world. Until I return, hang in there for dear life. Do the work of the ministry. Worship every Sunday. You know, do the work of God and wait patiently for me. Wait patiently because I am going to what? Come back. Does that give you hope that Jesus Christ is going to come back? Amen. Does that make you just a little bit, now be honest, does that make you just a little bit happier that you know for a fact, when you check out, you're going to heaven? Someone said, heaven is an endless hope. Think about that. And hell is a hopeless end. One of the two. Can't be both. So, heaven is an endless hope. So what I'm going to do, the remaining of my message, is I want to share four things that I know for a fact are in heaven. You know why I know they're a fact? Because they're in the Bible. And the Bible is true. Are you ready for this? Here we go. This is important. Heaven, our future hope with Jesus. Heaven, and I'm going to share four things that heaven is filled with. Heaven is filled with, number one, treasures. You like that? I like that. I love treasures. Do you think there's treasures in heaven? What does Scripture say? The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up what? Treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also, or two. Heaven is filled with precious and valuable persons, people, places, things, right on down the line. It's filled with treasures. I love that. I want treasures. I'm charismatic. I'm not talking about, you know, power of faith and, you know, sort of a, you know, prosperity theology at all. I'm talking about heaven. And by the way, the more that we send ahead, according to Randy Alcorn, the more that we have. Randy Alcorn says, you can't take your money with you, but you can send it ahead. And that $9,000 that you gave last week in your offering, that's giving towards your treasures in heaven. It really is. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. And it accrues, in banking terms, exponentially. The more we give, the more we get, the more we spread down the line. When I hear people say this quickly, that heaven is a better place, my thought is, are you nuts? Better? You can't pull out a superlative? Heaven is not just a better place, it's beyond what we can imagine. It's way, way beyond. I mean way beyond your feelings, your thoughts. That's why we should be imaginative. That's why we should be prepared. That's why we should be anticipatory. Heaven, Paul was caught up into the third heaven, according to 2 Corinthians, I think it's 12. And because he was so overwhelmed by what he saw, God had to send a sword, thorn by Satan, in his side that would humble him because it blew his mind. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh is, but it just blew him away what heaven felt like and looked like. You ever feel perfect? Have you ever felt one day, just one day in your life, perfect health? Never. When I come out of my mother's womb, I was bawling, kicking, and screaming, gasping for air. Ugliest baby you've ever seen in your life. So ugly the doctor slapped my mother. But anyhow. Heaven. Now watch this, this will flow. Heaven is filled with treasure. You agree with that? Amen. Steve, you're like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Yes, it is. Rick Warren said, heaven, we will not be in heaven 2 seconds, 2 seconds before you cry out and say this, why did I spend so much important on things that were so temporary? Why did I waste so much time here on earth worrying and fretting and fussing on things here on earth when I have this whole heaven filled with treasures? Marsha loves this song. I'm taking a little chance here, but it's Be Thou My Vision. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure, thou art. Shakespeare said, heaven is a treasury of everlasting life. Heaven is filled with treasures, not just treasures. That makes me hopeful, and it makes me a little bit more happy. But heaven is filled with pleasures. Number two, heaven is filled with pleasures. Where did I get that? Psalm 16. You have made me know the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. David said, at God's right hand, and I know God's a spirit. It doesn't have an anthropomorphism if you want to make word for word. But at God's heaven, there's pleasures and pleasures and pleasures. Like pleasures? I like pleasures. Treasures and pleasures at God's right hand. Filled all the time, eternity, you and I will be pleased. As soon as we enter into heaven, and it'll never stop. You'll never stop getting treasures, and you'll never stop feeling pleasure. Is that crazy or what? Is that amazing? Now you know why Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, who said, for the cross that was set before him, he was filled with joy. Who can be filled with joy when they're going to a Roman cross? Jesus, you know why? He was going back to heaven. He knew he was going back to his Father, and he knew he was going to go back to heaven that's filled with treasures and with pleasures. Steve McKnight in the book, The Promise of Heaven, said this, heaven will be the utopia of pleasure. Heaven is a world of happiness, a world of intense pleasure and joy. Heaven is designed for people who yearn that kind of happiness and pleasure. I love that, don't you? Hopefulness produces happiness. And when you and I begin to think about treasures and pleasures in our heart, Randy Alcorn, in his book Heaven, said, brilliant book, my dear, if never read it, he said, did you ever hear this quote? Some people say, especially non-Christians, you know, predominantly non-Christians, well, you're just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. He said, you can't be too heavenly minded. You can be no earthly good, he said. But you can't be too heavenly minded if you're thinking the right things. God, especially in Colossians chapter 3, if or since you have been risen from the dead, he says, think on things above. What's above? Heaven. How do you think about heaven? Well, you think scripture, you think God, you think about treasures. A couple of years ago, a group by the name of Mercy Me, I think about 11 years ago, wrote a song called I Can Only What? Imagine. And he wrote about his grandfather and his dad going to heaven. And he's saying, I have no clue what it's going to be like. I can only imagine that this place is beyond my human ability. And scripture says it is. And Jesus, who is preparing this place for you, is preparing treasures and pleasures. Now watch this. For you personally. Not just South Mount Corbin, but each one of you here today have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him only. God is up in heaven, Jesus preparing treasures and pleasures for you. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Does that make you hopeful? A little more happy? Maybe a little more holy? Pleasures and treasures. C.S. Lewis said this. It would seem, in his book Mere Christianity, that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite happiness and joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. Love that, what's in heaven. He said, we are far too easily pleased. There's much more. David said, I would rather be in the court of Jesus one day than 1,000 places where. I'd rather be in heaven one day than in Hawaii, than in San Diego, than in Greece, than in Rome, than in Pond Bank. Any place. Any place. Nothing wrong with Pond Bank. David's living. No, so heaven is filled with treasures, it's filled with pleasures. They sort of rhyme here. But heaven is also filled with prizes. P-R-I-Z-E-S. Prizes. Where did I get that from? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. There's prizes. Today, for the most part, we call them rewards or crowns, but they're prizes. What do they look like? I have no clue. What are they? I have no clue. I know some of the crowns, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, but for the most part, I have no clue. First, that's two. Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. We're there already. Don't need a green card to get in because if we're saved, that's our citizenship. And there's prizes there. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, for what is our hope, our joy, our prize, our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes. When we sing the old song, when we all get to heaven. Onward to the prize before us, soon as beauty we will behold, soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the what? Streets of gold prizes. When I was small, I used to go down to Mosey Kuppenhaver's store. Love Mosey, Uriah Kuppenhaver. He was always saying, I can't wait to go to heaven. And I was saying, I can't wait to get a soda pop and some Cracker Jacks. At that age, who wants to go to heaven when you're 12 and 13? You know, you want something fun or sweet. But anyhow, remember the Cracker Jack box? They were a nickel a box. Remember what was in them? Junk. Pure adult. adulterated junk. And guess, and you can still buy them. Guess what's in them now?
More junk.
Junkier junk. Get it? It's pathetic what they put in there. But there was intrigue about that. What was in that Cracker Jack box? There was a prize in there. Prizes intrigue us, don't they? We love prizes. Whatever, whatever. It really is. And I had an autograph. It was a real prize. Guess who it was from? Muhammad Ali. My brother told him I was crippled. And he gave me an autograph. Only about an hour and a half from our house, he had his training camp. He was up there. I was up there three or four times. Didn't get a chance to meet Ali, see him anyhow. He was sparring up there, and my brother was up there. He said he was really, Ali was not giving autographs, but he said, but my brother is crippled. Now, you got to remember, he wasn't lying. He was probably thinking mentally. He said, to Dennis from Muhammad Ali. Now, you have that at home on my wall, you know, in frame, right? No, I lost it. Gone. Have no idea where it's gone. One of the great treasures or prizes here that people would love to have, and I had it, and it's gone. That's what prizes here on earth happen, don't they? Here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus is going to return, it tells us, with a reward, a prize at his right hand. Guess who for? Me. You. Ready for it? Do you want it? Have you earned it? No. It's grace. But God loves to dispense good gifts. One more thing in heaven, and I gotta finish. My wife said to me today, be short. Are we doing okay? We all right? Don't pay no attention to my wife. I don't. Why should you know? Just teasing. Just teasing. Now, there's a list of prizes I have and rewards here. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life. If you want to see those, I'll give to you afterwards. But I want to get to my last thing. So now watch this. Where are we at? Here we go. Heaven is filled with what? Help me out here. Treasures, pleasures, prizes. Got that? Pleasures, treasures, prizes. Now we need another word that rhymes with prizes. What do you think it might be? Whoever gets it, I will give you a prize. Now think. Pardon?
Surprise.
Who said surprise? Did you say surprise? What did you say? Rises. That's a good one. It's not the answer, but that's a good one. Anybody else want to try? Surprises? You got it. You get the prize. Holy kiss after church. Now what? From Steve. Now watch this. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. Go to prepare, please. The things that God has prepared for those who what? Love Him. Eye has not seen, nor think. In other words, it's going to be a what? Surprise. Don't I love surprises? I love to be surprised. They're the best gifts of all, aren't they? Surprise when you're not expecting it. When you don't earn it. And someone gives you something that's really, really special. Really special. If it's a relationship or it's a tangible gift and whatever. Steve McKnight in The Promise of Heaven said, some think of heaven in steady terms, that it's sameness. Good sameness, but still sameness. Other, and I am sure they are right, understand that heaven to be a full growth and newness and surprises. Heaven is full of surprises. Surprise how unimaginable great heaven and how horrific hell is. And we need to balance that out. Really, we do. John Newton's classic, we loved him, Amazing Grace, last stanza. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing what? God's praise, and when we first begun. Heaven is filled with surprise. We will be shocked and surprised when we get there. We will be surprised when He returns, won't we? We will be, for the most part. We will be surprised about what heaven looks. You're going to be surprised where heaven is. For years, I thought heaven was up. Randy Outgoing tells us, no, heaven's down. That there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth here on earth. And he's not going to destroy the earth. He's going to redeem it and reform it. Is that true? I think so. Well, not for sure, because I've never been there. But we do know it's true, isn't it? We know there's going to be a heaven. We know that there's a Christ's eternity called hell because it's biblical truth. And heaven is filled with treasures and pleasures, prizes and surprises. So John Newton, as I close up, John Newton said there's three really great surprises in heaven. Number one, the first surprise is this, that we're going to meet some people that we never thought were going to be there. That'll be a real surprise. Can you imagine what some of the Old Testament saints thought when the thief of the cross sashayed through heaven with Jesus? 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, today you will be with me where? And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, and guess who's with him? Not Moses, not David, not his mother, a thief, like you and me. A sinner, filled with prizes and treasures. That's grace, isn't it? That's the amazing part of grace. There'll be people there that you and I never dreamt would be there. You thought for sure they were lost. Whatever. The second is there's going to be some people that we expected to be there but are not there. Like half your TV evangelists. Sorry about that. You thought for sure they were Christians. They said they were. They were doing this, they were doing that. And we expected them to be there. And others did too. To miss some that we expected to be there. That'll be a surprise. And then the third surprise John Newton said is that I am there. He said, the greatest surprise of all is to find myself there. And if I'm there, it's only because of God's amazing grace. Agree with that? Like what's going to be in heaven? Make you a little bit more hopeful? Treasures, pleasures, prizes, and surprises. Did part of this, a little bit of this lesson at my brother's funeral. His son approached me afterwards, and he did a part two, and he said, Uncle Dennis, is my dad in heaven? I said, I have no clue. I have no clue. I said, I hope so, but I don't know so. Now, look, there's people I know are going to be in heaven, right? And there's people I know won't be in heaven unless they God changes their heart. But I didn't know with my brother. And that's challenging to do that service. But all I know is this. If he's there, Stephen, it's because of God's amazing grace, isn't it? And if you're going to be in heaven, it'll be because God's amazing grace. And you will be filled with treasures and pleasures and prizes and surprises. And you will be have hope that never ends. And you will live, I promise you, happily ever after. And I will promise you this as I close, that all your hopes and dreams will come true in heaven. So be hopeful and be happy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace, and thank you for the Word of God that teaches us to live godly. It teaches us that there is a not just a better place, but an amazing place called heaven. And Jesus is preparing that for me. Blows my mind. It makes me feel with wonder and awe that he would love me that much. And if we could only share that with the world. And as I close, perhaps along with Romans 15:13, the group here today would look up 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 where it says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lives within us. What hope? Why are you happy? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. And he's preparing a place for me and for you if you accept him into your life today. Tell him you're a sinner, and tell him you want to go to heaven, and you will. Bless this time, and bless this audience. And Jesus, happy and holy and hopeful name we pray. Amen.